when you go overseas, everything that you used to struggle with, I would have to come walk home for like 20, 30 minutes by myself in the dark, just claiming these truths. Like, okay, God, I know you. So what is this, what does knowing you mean? What is all these promises? Okay, knowing that you're with me always. Just having that shield of protection, like the whole armor of God, seeing that your prayers instantaneously like answered is crazy. And like, just really, you really see that power of God, like just over you and just protecting you.
Welcome to the Study with Friends radio program, an outreach of studywithfriends.org. Study with Friends is a Bible community created to encourage women of all ages in their walk with God through the study of His Word. Each week at this time brings a fresh perspective on God's Word, a Spirit-filled half hour of wisdom from each of the women that come around the table.
Hi, this is Holly. Today we continue our series called Using God's Word in Everyday Life. This is part 4. If you missed any previous broadcasts, you can catch up with us at studywithfriends.org.
Let me just hit some of the notes and see if anything pops up. Philippians 2:3, considering others higher than yourself or better than yourself. Who read that one?
I did.
Do you happen to still have it? I'm going to just throw out there, and then if you can read it again.
I can get it soon.
If we're struggling with gossip or being judgy, mm-hmm. And I'm just throwing that out there because sometimes we bring a struggle to the workshop and sometimes the workshop brings a struggle to us. I'm going to throw out there a couple of these verses and see if it resounds, maybe not with someone in the room, but maybe with someone on the other side of the recording. So will you read it again?
Mm-hmm. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves.
Can you read 4 too?
Mm-hmm. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
So we talked a few minutes ago about gossiping and talking, using our words the right way, the wrong way. And that's one that reminds me when I want to. It's very easy. I don't think of myself as a judgmental person, but at the end of the day, I'll be having some thoughts when people are handling stuff wrong. I confess that, and this is something that helps me, reminds me to consider others better than myself, because I'm a worm, and maybe I'm not screwing up in that particular way right there, but I'm probably screwing up in 10 more ways than they are. How dare I think that I'm not? And that's another mom note. Oh my gosh, do we get to judging her stroller brand? And like, oh.
Well, and I think,
blah, blah, blah.
Even now I'm thinking about Erin being where you are. Thank the Lord for the fact that you have the ability and you're surrounded by so many women in Christ. And you have that in your husband. Absolutely. You have that right now. Because where my disconnect started, and Holly can probably attest to this, when that circle closes, when that tight-knit circle closes and a new circle opens, and it's at the elementary school level, whether it's or sports teams or the PTO or the, you know, things like that. How do I say this without being judgmental? But
they're worldly groups.
You're not,
groups
you're not
that
meeting
are
them in Bible
in the
study.
World. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're not meeting them at MOPS. You're not meeting them on a Christian foundation. Mm-hmm. So you, it's hard, especially with the gossip.
My friend says, in that circumstance, you're not fellowshipping in the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to me a way of summing it up in a non-judgmental way. Mm-hmm. That there's a shadow over that type of fellowship. That it's, as we're fellowshipping right now, fully in the light. Aware, saved, in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Those interactions are not fully in the light.
Right.
And there's judgment. And there's,
it's a
I
mess.
Mean, just as recently as the other night at a meeting, you know, and I'm on a member of the executive board, and there's the big move up today. Even though I don't have a fifth grader moving up, I guess I was expected to be a part, and my response was, I Bible study. Well, imagine the doors that opened up for different conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I feel like even at the start, the armor of God, you know, comes back to that.
I'm so proud that you said I have Bible study and not I have another commitment.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Good for you on that.
Good job.
Well, you know why? I know why I said it. Because I have Bible study. It's like I have a dentist appointment. Do you know what I mean?
Mm, don't mess with it. You can't mess with
because
that.
Because there's
who's going to say, well, you should miss that.
Well, that's just
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to come off as the one. But if I was going to say, well, I'm going to go to the gym, it's like, oh, look, well,
Yeah.
But
I'll take it, though, and I want you to come back and tell us how that seed grew. Oh, gosh, someone's going to be like, tell me about your Bible study.
Yeah.
I bet. That's good. Good job. The other one that I think we kind of hit a little bit a few minutes ago, Psalm 101:3, the deeds of faithless men I hate, they will not cling to me. I'm sorry, I only read the second part. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate, they will not cling to me. By the way, it's not faithless men who I hate. It's the hate deeds. The adjective, the object there is the deeds, not the men. I just read a passage this morning on my Facebook. I follow a particular godly woman, a public figure, and she was talking about the movie 50 Shades of Grey. This is a good reminder for me that's probably not in my Christian walk to go to that movie, even though that book and that movie has been completely normalized. It's not for me. Simple things like my children want to read The Hunger Games. Well, Gianna, actually, God bless Gianna, yesterday she said to me, you know what, Mom, I'm okay with not reading those books. Because I said to her, I want to teach her how to be in the world. This is a little tangent, but it's of this verse, so I'll bring it back around. When Gianna was in fifth grade, which is 2 years ago, there was all this hunger. I mean, people were having Hunger Games parties, which actually was fun. She went to an end of the year party that was a food fight, Hunger Games themed. And so you had to run into the circle and grab what foods you like. It was so messy and gross. They wore their bathing suits, but it was fun. Mm-hmm. A couple of her friends took up archery that year. They were like, I want to learn how to shoot a bow like Kenneth. Everybody was just talking about that book. And I told her, I read it because that's how I discern. I go to other people and I read plugged in online and I do all those things too. But I said, you know what, sweetie? What stinks about this is it's got a lot of good springboard for conversation, situational ethics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it is just so violent. I can't get behind you watching it. I mean, reading it. And then the movie came out. She was like, Mom. I was like, I know. We'll go do something else when all your friends, because she got invited, come with us. And I said, we'll go do something really fun. I'll take you to buy new shoes, something. she's not a shoe girl, so it fell flat. But, you know, we did something else. So for me, not only do I need to be cognizant of what I set before my eyes, I have to be aware of what I allow to be set before my children's eyes. And that's my grave responsibility. Now it's the series Divergent. I said to her, because she's 13 and has she just wants to be in her room. She's writing a little book, which is great. It's actually pretty good. But she just wants to, she's in that phase of isolating. She's just so happy to be by herself. She's wired up that way anyway. So I'm in the phase of trying to draw her out. And now that we have no dance carpool and it's summer, I mean, we have no place to go that I have to force her to spend time with me. And I said to her, sweetie, you're isolating, whatever. I said, let's go. I have to take Max to get his nails done and we'll stop at Barnes & Noble and we'll pick up Divergent. I had told her that we would read it together and I would read it to her out loud and I would just edit the garbage. I just wouldn't share that part. And I said, or maybe I'll just black it out because there's enough of a good story in there. And again, some violence and a little bit of sexual content, but just stuff that, why would I put that in front of her? Is it awful? No. Is there sexually explicit content? No. But it's enough. She's 13. Why would I awaken that if it's dormant right now? Why would I just feel that I have to be careful with her in those ways, with both of them. And actually, I will, to her credit, I will close by saying that she said, you know what, Mom, I'm okay with not reading that. And I was like, done. I wanted to be like, why? I just let it lie because thankfully I've been with both of my girls when they said their salvation prayer. And that's releasing for me because I think, okay, where I leave off, God picks up. And I leave off pretty far in. You know, I'm very limited in my earthly parenting of them, but God has been faithful. And, you know, I just assume that he planted in her heart or squashed in her heart the desire to read that, because I know that's what all her friends are reading right now, and she loves to read. For me, that particular passage, speaking over, making choices that are different from the choices that the world makes, and trying to speak over those situations for my kids as well, which is actually just as hard, you know, because I need to teach them to live in this world and not of this world. And I'm still figuring it out. So how do you teach something that you're still not totally mastering yourself? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was a good one. No vile things. Of course, Jeremiah 29:11, and Amy mentioned that's one of her favorites too. It's a catch-all. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. I also like one that I didn't put on here. It's right before the one we just read, Psalm 101:3. He knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. Mm. And I love that, because sometimes I feel like I'm letting God down. Mm. And especially in if you have a calling, if you feel like you have a calling and you're not doing a good job, which most of the time as human beings, we won't do a great job. I might have given it away to someone. No, Psalm 103:14. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. I'm just comforted by that. When I'm down and out of the season, coming back into the season, recognizing my disobedience, recognizing what a screw up I am for not having stayed in Bible study, recognizing that I left that group of friends and I didn't do the things I was supposed to do, even though I was trying to be intentional about it, and I still screwed it up and I said stuff I shouldn't, or I behaved in ways I shouldn't. And I just am comforted that he knows how we are formed and he remembers that we are dust, because we tend to remember he formed me for such a time as this, for good works that are fitted for this time. And there's this level of expectation, as there should be, because we're designed to be useful, but he doesn't forget we're imperfect and sinful, and that's every day I need the blood of Jesus, not just that one time in my salvation experience, but every day. Mm. And God doesn't forget that. I forget it and get frustrated with myself, but God doesn't forget it, and he's full of mercy and grace for the fact that I totally need it minute to minute to minute to minute. And as much as I don't encourage letting yourself totally off the hook, it's a nice scripture for breathing it out and just letting yourself off the hook so that you're not in a season of defeat besides disobedience or whatever else you ended up needing that scripture over. You know, Satan can have his way in our defeat. And this just helps me bat down that defeat that says, you know what? This doesn't shock my God. He knows I'm a mess. And he loves me anyway, and he intends to use me anyway. And so I'm going to get on board with that instead of being on board with this defeat that I'm feeling right now. I really love the whole Bible, in case you didn't know. That's my thing. The Bible is my jam. Okay, are there any other pieces we want to add in? Things that you're struggling with that any of these verses spoke to you? 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 talks about our thought life. That's a high and lofty goal, the thought life. I mean, we talked a little bit about the mouth, and that's a goal enough for 99% of us, but I think God sanctifies us and continues the work. And so, of course, from the thoughts spring the speech. That one's a good one. That one was one I decided to memorize, and I just love it. Piece by piece, for the weapons we fight with are not carnal but mighty in God, for casting down arguments, bringing down strongholds, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because I'm a person who likes to feel empowered. And so for me, I like this talk of weapons and the power that they have and what I can do with them. And so for me, that's when that helps me to remember to stop it in the thought process before it displays itself in my outward life, by my thoughts, my act, by my speech, my actions, whatever. My countenance, even road rage, like you were saying. I mean, that's taking all those things into captivity and knowing that I have the power to do that because the weapons I'm fighting with are not worldly weapons. They're spiritual weapons. I love that verse. Love, love, love it. And I know a lot of people are ministered to by 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are ministered to by that. I mean, I have a child who struggles with anxiety, and we use that a lot. another one that's related to that.
That is a good one for kids.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's good for anybody who struggles mm-hmm. with anxiety, and, mm-hmm. and, you know, there are plenty of us that struggle with it as adults. And I think anxiety ramps itself up when you have a family, when you have a husband. My husband travels. I get anxious about that. He's been in some scrapes on the road. That's fear-inducing. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, when he's not here and the dog barks in the middle of the night, that's fear-inducing, you know? So I think there's plenty. You're right. It's good for kids mm-hmm. who have anxiety, but I think it's good for adults who have anxiety too. Do you have more you want to add?
I know this isn't on the list, but, and we mentioned it last week, but Psalms 46:10, to be still.
Oh, that's great.
And no, that's my mom's life verse and my life verse. It really encompasses all the truths in scripture. Constantly the Lord is, if my wee little brain is forgetting any truth or promise from the Lord's like, be still and know that I'm God, and knowing God encompasses so much. Go back, know these scriptures, know what I promise you, know what these truths that I hold have put before you. And I lived overseas for 4 months, and during those times, when I was younger, even younger than I am, I'm so young. I used to, when I grew up, I don't know, well, didn't come from the Lord, but I grew up with a lot of fear and worry. I don't know where that came from, but that's something I surrendered to later in life. When you go overseas, everything that you used to struggle with comes back alive. And the Lord and I went and lived in a country where the men were very vulgar, and they would follow you everywhere. And the Lord just, like, holding, like, and going back to memorizing scripture, like, I would have to come walk home for, like, 20, 30 minutes by myself in the dark, just claiming these truths. Like, mm-hmm. okay, God, I know you. So what is this, what does knowing you mean? What is all these promises? Okay, knowing that you're with me always. Okay, knowing all this. And, like, just having that shield of protection and, like, the whole armor of God. Seeing that your prayers instantaneously, like, answered is crazy. And, like, just really, you really see that power of God, like, just over you and just protecting you, like, whatever battle you're going through. And it's, but, yeah, just knowing God. Okay, I know God. So what does all this entail?
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah, it makes beautiful sense. And I'm glad that you're here, because I don't want this to only be about being a mom, being mm-hmm. a wife, because you're in a great stage in your mm-hmm. life. And I want what you're sharing mm-hmm. Is different than anything I've experienced. And that's so good for me, and it's mm-hmm. good for all of us. And just the witness of your ability to call on those scriptures in those scary, anxiety-riddled mm-hmm. moments, that ministers to me. It reminds me of the importance of memorizing mm-hmm. scripture, because you never, that's what I said earlier, you never know when you're going to need it. So you've got to mm-hmm. have it in your back pocket. How panic stricken do you feel if you leave your house without the phone? Mm-hmm. That's how we should feel about walking into a day without God's word impressed mm-hmm. in our heart. The idea of the phone is, what if school calls? What if school nurse? Or what if I need, what if I break down? What if something happens? I'm going to need my phone. Meanwhile, I'll date myself, but that, when I was your age, I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a cell phone. I figured it out. pay phones were available. I haven't seen a pay phone in such a long time. Mm-hmm. I think that that's how we should mm-hmm. interpret this, that you just don't know. Mm-hmm. In fact, the truth is, you can be sure you are going to run up against stuff. Mm-hmm. Instead of me saying you just never know if you're going to run up against stuff, let me go ahead and take it to the next level and say, you can be pretty sure stuff will happen during the day that you're going to need it for.
It says in scripture, we are pressed, we are persecuted. It doesn't say you might be. You might be persecuted, mm-hmm. you might be. Mm-hmm. No, it says we are.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you segued to that, because I think that's a super powerful scripture. I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. Because I think this is a, you know, when you're really just feeling it, I would juxtapose this scripture with the entire passage in Esther, where mm-hmm. she's feeling like, I have no idea how to handle this. I know we are oppressed. Mm-hmm. We are hard pressed, but God speaks over it and reminds us that we are, 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. So powerful. Mm-hmm. If you can just be reciting that to yourself every day, mm-hmm. whatever you're, you know, some people are in the pit, people with kids who are sick, people who are sick are feeling hard pressed, persecuted, and struck down. But to parallel each one of those with what we're not, because we live in Jesus Christ and we have treasures in jars of clay, which is what this passage is, the all-surpassing power from God and not from us, that I am in the pit, but I won't stay there forever. Even if I stay there for the rest of my earthly life, I'll get out. Mm-hmm. I'll get out. Really, really good one. I like that one a lot too. Mm-hmm. I like the empowering ones. Mm-hmm. Because I need that. I need to be able to speak God's word over me when I'm feeling powerless. I need God's power. And that's, I guess, a great way for us to wrap up, unless anybody wants to throw anything else in, that the idea behind this is knowing God's word and wielding it the way that Paul explained that we should when he laid out the armor of God, wielding the sword of the Spirit in an offensive way, that we not wait until the world presses us down, but that we use the sword to protect ourselves, to equip ourselves, to fight the battles that come every day, and that we have those things by regular time in his word, and furthermore by actually actively memorizing his word and ingraining it in our minds and our hearts. There are a lot of things in Bible study that I'll write in pencil, not in Sharpie, but this one I'll write in Sharpie, and that is God's word does not come back void. You remember it, you study it, it hits the hot pavement of your everyday life and equips you in a way that you never thought you could be equipped. And so thank you for spending time with me today doing this, and I hope that you were blessed by it. Let's end in prayer. Lord, thank you for meeting with us in your word. Thank you for planting your word in our heart and for watering it and feeding it and helping it to grow. Thank you for the pruning that you do in us through your word, the corrections that you provide through your gospel and through your every word, all 66 books. Thank you for the process of sanctification and for what it means, which is an intimate relationship with you. Help us long for that. Help us work for that. Remind us every morning how great it is to be in fellowship with you. And Lord, don't let us fall out of a season of that intimacy, because it's so much a better place to be in every way. Just, I ask that specifically today you grow in each of us your Holy Spirit, crowd out the world, crowd out the excuses, and help us make a new habit of spending quality time with you, our Creator, our Savior, our Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our study for today. Come back again next week at this time. The women have a new Bible study. They'd love you to take part. You have been listening to Study with Friends. We hope you've been blessed by today's program. Tell us your thoughts by visiting our website, studywithfriends.org. And while you're there, you can join our group at home, download some homework, memory verses, and sometimes we have bonus audio material teaching more on each week's topic. You can also learn more about the women around the table today. You will find a picture and a bio for each of them, and you can interact with the whole community by adding to the comment section on our homepage. That's studywithfriends.org. Just do what you can when you can. God will always meet you where you are. While we all love your participation in this community, we also strongly believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Thanks for being with us. See you back here next time on Study with Friends.